Welcome to Teen Life Podcast, where we research teen culture so you can focus on connection. My name is Caleb Hatchett, and I'm here again with Tobin and Carly, and we're just going to jump right in, give you a little peek into the episode for today. We're going to start up with Caleb's Corner. I'm going to give you some info on the video gaming world. Then we're going to go into Tobin's Trend, where he's just going to rapid fire update on basically everything else. And then we'll get right into dating. But to start out with video games, like I might have forced Carly's hand to put this in here because I think it's interesting.
Just a little.
But there's a new game called Pal World out. I don't know if you've heard of it or not. Basically, to give you like the few sentence summary of what it is, it's an open world survival game. Okay, where you capture different quote unquote pals.
Ah.
Okay. In spheres.
Is that why it's called Pal World?
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. I see where they're going with it. Okay, sorry.
You can train and then battle other captured monsters. Or you can also put them at your base to work, gathering items, craft things for you. You can have them work on a farm because there's like different like cow pals. There's like a sheep pal, so like, you know, they can drop milk or wool to help you craft. So it's basically like a survival game to where, you know, you start out in like leather armor and then, you know, you progress through the game, unlocking different areas, capturing different pals. Anyways, it's been super successful.
So it's Pokemon and Farm.
Huh? Oh, we can't say Pokemon. Yeah. Legally, you can't say Pokemon with this game, okay? No similarities at all. It's basically that's the bash people have against it. It's like it's a combination of a bunch of different games, but it's a bunch of different games people love. And to prove that it's been successful, they've sold like 8 million copies, just on Steam. So that's just the PC version of it. They broke a Steam record of 2.1 million concurrent players, like so players playing all at once. And then again, both of those figures don't consider any Xbox sales or player counts.
Wow.
So it's huge. And Carly, you did mention that it does seem similar to Pokemon. Most people have caught on to that.
I mean, catching monsters in a sphere, isn't that what you said?
Yeah.
I mean, if your sister who does not play video games and is an adult is the first thing says, hey, it sounds like Pokemon.
Yeah.
That's pretty dang close to, well, hey, maybe we should have thought of a different way to do this.
Well, it's fine. So much so, actually, that Game Freak, which is the company that owns Pokemon, released a statement saying, we've received many inquiries because people were going to bat for Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Okay. People were like, this is Kratom. We'll get there. Anyways, we have received many inquiries regarding another company's game released in January 2024. We have not granted any permission for the use of Pokemon intellectual property or assets in that game. We intend to investigate and take appropriate measures to address any facts that infringe on our intellectual property rights related to Pokemon. We will continue to cherish and nurture each and every Pokemon and its world to work to bring the world together through Pokemon in the future.
Way.
Which is
never
wild.
Mind. I'm on Pal World's team.
Thank you.
That statement's so dumb.
Thank you. And here's my take. Unless Pal World is caught stealing like literal 3D models from Pokemon, I don't think it'll stick because there's a big difference of like whenever you look into like infringement and stuff like that of like the audience it's intended for. And Pal World gives Pokemon guns. Think you literally kill the Pokemon, which is also why
they're
called pals. Sorry, you can all. So, anyways, I think their claim is it's for a different audience than what Pokemon. Sure. Is for, but also listen, for all those who love to game, we can enjoy until maybe this gets taken down. We can enjoy Pal World, okay, and celebrate the fact that there's a $30 game, which is rare nowadays. Most AAA games $70, $30 game with no like microtransactions. There's no like added cost
that's
when
you
get
in
there.
Thing.
There's no like, hey, you can get a different skin for your pal for $5. All free. Anyways, we can celebrate the fact that it's been so successful. And also celebrate the fact, if you do like Pokemon, the fact that there has not been a really good Pokemon game. So
that's the biggest thing, you just said it, is that there's no microtransactions, which is unheard of these days. But I mean, we're basically in the society now where everything we do is either a sequel or a rehash of things. Like, I mean, I just saw an ad the other day for like a new Roadhouse movie with Jake Gyllenhaal. And I'm like, damn. So like everything now is just basically a copy of another thing. Like, I just feel like, you know, at some point we're going to have to stop being so stringent. But also, if I was the creator of Pokemon, I'd be like, give me my money. Yeah. So
right.
I get where they're both coming from. Carly, does Pal World interest you at all? No. Like, is that something you're going to go download on your Steam deck?
I'll get Sawyer to play.
I don't even know what all of those words mean, but Josh downloaded it. I don't think he was a big fan, but I also don't think he might not be the intended audience. I don't know, but ask your teen boys about Pal World.
Yeah.
Or girls. I suppose it could be girls too.
True.
Well, that is definitely a trend that I was not aware of. So it means I think I've aged out of that situation. But so for my trends this week, we got some rapid fire updates. We're not going to sit in any of them too far. We talked about deepfakes a few weeks ago on the podcast, and just kind of an update about that. The Defiance Act from the U.S. Senators, they're trying to pass a Defiance Act that would hold people accountable who create these deepfakes. So it just took Taylor Swift to get involved, which apparently was the key for people to take it seriously. I am reading the opening line of this Defiance Act of 2024. It says, it is a bipartisan, disrupt, explicit forged images and non-consensual edits act of 2024, or the Defiance Act. So Defiance is actually an anagram that would hold accountable those who are responsible for the proliferation of non-consensual, sexually explicit, deepfake images and videos. Now, we talked last time about how scary it was that someone did a Mr. Beast video and kind of got people to give in their credit card information and do things in that situation. This specific is about sexually explicit situations, which I think is kind of, it's kind of smart in some ways because it kind of helps them narrow down of here's this corner that we really don't want to happen, but we don't have the capacity to like go after everybody necessarily. So quick general thoughts about this Defiance Act.
I mean, I think someone should be held accountable. And so if you missed it, I'll post some links if you want to go read on exactly what happened with Taylor Swift on X, Twitter, whatever. Some deep fake photos were posted of her that were sexually explicit, obviously not real. And it became a huge deal because everyone was searching for it to the point where Twitter stopped where you could even search for Taylor Swift for a while. But it's the internet. So once it happens, the damage is done. And so like Tobin said, I think it takes someone like her going, hang on, this is not okay, because this has been happening. This isn't new.
Yeah.
It's not going to be new, probably, or even unheard of, especially for your teen girls, because this is something that I think our teenagers are going to have to grow up with and navigate, which is not fun. And so I hope for their sakes that there is some protection that can be had for this.
That's the biggest thing, is that we're getting to a point where it's not just people with high technology or capability of doing it. Yeah. It's now like anybody can do it. And so I think I do agree that this is probably a good step forward of, you know, if you're wanting to create that content and make money off of it, or also disparage people or whatever, like that doesn't need to be a thing. If people are going to do that kind of stuff, they need to have that kind of consent to those kind of images being out there. Whether you agree with them or not is not the point. The point is that those people are not agreeing to that, and so they don't need to be, you know, put on the internet for everybody to see. Another thing, another trend, it's not as scary, but I think it's scary, is Be Real Streaks. We talked about Snapchat Streaks a few episodes ago, but this is more specific of, if you are unaware, you probably have been living under a rock for the last year, but Be Real is an app that basically tells you at a specific time to take a picture wherever you are at, whatever you're doing, and quote, be real about it. So The problem is that it encourages users to post during the 2-minute notification period, and your streak starts after 5 consecutive days of posting on time. The amount of people that I have seen stop dead to take a Be Real picture in things that they absolutely should not be taking a picture in is unreal. Like, because Carly, you are the more Be Real person. Mm-hmm. Do you have a set? Is it a set time or is it straight random every
day? It's random. So you get a notification on your phone and it'll count down. And you can still post after the 2-minute. I'll link the episode that we originally did.
It's cool.
Yeah. It's fake. You're fake.
I'll post the episode we originally did on Be Real a long time ago when it first came out. But now, if you post within the 2-minute notification period, you get 2 extra pictures you can take whenever you want. Whoa. And so there's like incentive. Now they're adding.
Then you can be fake.
Yes.
Yeah, you can be fake. You have to be real first, though.
Yes, exactly. But the streak thing is especially, we've talked about like gamification. That, especially maybe for your teenagers, is going to get them to care more about that. Because they're like, oh, I've got to keep my streak alive. I have to have my phone on me at all times. They've also added very recently where there's, I can't remember what it's called, but basically you can add when you take a picture, it will show like a couple seconds of the background of video if you want to
add
that
to. It's
like
a live photo.
Yes. Okay. And so that's new as well, which I don't necessarily think any of these things are dangerous necessarily. But like you said, Tobin, I think it is going to cause people to be in the app more. And I know they're trying to hang on to their people. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So teens, look at me. I'm talking to you. Teens, if you are, or listen to me, if you're listening on podcast, if you are doing this, just know that, hey, when you're 16, 17 years old and you're at, you know, your part-time job or your chemistry class or whatever it may be, it's still not great. You probably shouldn't do it. But imagine being an adult with a full-time job and just being like, hold on a second, boss. I got to take a selfie real quick. Do you want to get in on this? Does that sound good to you? Like, I don't think that's going to go very well for you unless you have a really chill job and boss. Just don't create that habit now. It's not necessary. It's not worth it. I promise you it's not worth it. And then when this app is dead and gone, some other dumb app will come and have some other rules for you. So don't get into this fad. If you have 2 minutes, like, by all means, do the 2 minutes. But like, the other thing too that I think is dangerous is this encourages people to do this kind of stuff while they're driving.
Yeah.
Because like, if you're driving and that notification goes off, like, how many of these people are going to pull off to the side of the road? Which some people might be doing that, which is even more ridiculous. But like, there needs to be like that, like having that 2-minute window is asking people to just stop everything for it. A picture, which I don't understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like Carly said, be more dependent on your phone to have it. Like, oh, I can't be without it. What if Be Real pops? Right. I had to stop a lesson a few weeks ago because Be Real popped on a Wednesday night. And it was like one of those crossroads where I'm like, I can't be like, put your phones down. Or I could be like, I posed. I said, hey, get my good side. You know, he got a big laugh, a lot of brownie points. But there was part of me, I was like, can we not like take?
Let me ask minutes? The question for the old people out there, because I understand for y'all and myself. Does it send the notification like app wide at the same time, or is it kind of like, so like if we all three have Be Real and it's going to send it one at 10:33, we get it at 10:33, the whole world gets it, and then we have 2 minutes. Yep. Yikes! Yep. So when it goes off, it's like those scary dystopian, you know, movies where like everybody looks down at their phone at the same time.
Yeah.
Whoa. See, Carly, you said it's not dangerous. I disagree. This is very scary. I feel like this is the start of a dystopian novel or book or something. So, man, speaking of dystopian and scary, the last time that Apple forced something on our phones, it was a U2 album and everybody lost their minds about it. But recently, they've also forced an Apple app called the Journal app. It was automatically downloaded with the latest update. I don't think as many people are mad about it because it's not Bono yelling at them. So it's probably better.
Well, you can just
delete
it.
But have any of you has any of you tried the Journal app yet?
I looked at it. I like got into it. I think it's interesting because I would love to be a journal person. I just forget. A lot of times I forget at night or by the something will happen during the day. And by the time I get to sit down, I don't have time to do that. And so I like the thought of it's on my phone. I can keep it digitally. I always have it with me. So I might try it and I can report back. But it seems interesting. You didn't see the butterfly looking app thing pop up on your...
Listen, any of the apps that Apple just automatically downloads on my phone, I'm like, I'm not going to use this ever.
His badge notifications are probably probably covering it. So
he has no idea. See it. Yeah.
Hey, I've gotten a little better.
Yeah, so that is Tobin's Trends rapid fire updates. If you have any trends for us that you would like us to share that maybe we don't know about, please send them on. But let's move on to, so as we get into the month of February, I'm not really, so this is, we're in Valentine's time, which is a very touchy subject for a lot of people. But I have some dating terms for us, Carly, before we get into some dating advice from you. Have you heard of the word situationship?
Yes, I don't think I fully understand it, though, I'm going to be honest. I think this is a weird thing. Is this complicated?
I'm pretty sure this means friends with benefits, basically. But in a nicer way.
Yeah. Okay, got it.
Like, I could be wrong, so if you're a resident teen and you're like, no, this old dude doesn't know what he's talking about, that's true. But I'm pretty sure that this means that you are a friends with benefits, but you don't want the label, but you also have to have a label or else it makes you feel like you're gross, which there's a lot of yikes in that. But that's what I think it is. The situationship is that, you know, you might have a friend that you're getting intimate with and you don't really want to call it a boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever. And that's the word. So
I think it's just like non-committal. So it's like kind of like, you know, hey, it's not a relationship. It's just kind of the situation we fell into, you know?
Got it. So kind of like you could be talking or you're hooking up. You're just not like official. So it's a situationship.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's the less crass version of it. Yeah. Have you seen the word ick?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Because ick has been around for a while. If you get the ick. Mm-hmm. Josh was showing me some TikToks the other day.
I think I know which one you're about to bring up.
This guy, have you seen these? Anytime on TikTok, someone talks about this gave me the ick, he has created a list on his phone. And so he'll have the video.
It's a screen recording. Yes, yeah.
And then he'll go and you'll like see him flip through the list and then he'll add it at the bottom. And it's a lot of, some of them are
it's
funny.
It's like 600 deep.
Yes,
now.
But some of them are like, has fun. Or like,
yeah, there a lot of them are ridiculous. Like one of them was like that I saw recently was like this guy was wearing a beanie because it was cold, and this girl was like, "Ew, that's a new ick." And, it was like has to like the thing he put was tries not to be cold. So, you know. So yeah, if you are wondering, ick is basically it seems to be more female driven. Like I'm sure that this could go both ways, but it seems like specifically on social media, if a female says something about like, hey, this dude has a beard, that's an ick for me. Mm-hmm. And then that's one of their, you know, their no-nos. So I haven't heard of many, like I haven't gotten this ever. I'm sure that my wife has a list that I don't know about of stuff that I do that she doesn't like. So
I know my husband has a list.
Yeah, for sure. And then speaking of that kind of same vein, the flag talk has been going around lately about between like red flags, green flags. So let's start there because that seems pretty easy. One of my favorite TikTok accounts is this guy that has a giant red flag and he just waves it whenever he like posts a video of like some relationship and he's like, ma'am. And he like is just waving a giant red flag like this guy. And then he just kind of says all the things that are red flags. Like, so yeah, obviously red flag means like, hey, this person is doing something that you probably should be aware of. And hey, maybe this isn't not the person that you should be with and stuff like that. The green flag is the opposite, obviously, of this person. Oh, that's a green flag. That guy has a beard. That's a green flag for me.
Or he holds a door open for you. That's
he
green
holds
flag.
A door open or he's, you know, he says nice things. He gives me compliments or whatever. Pink and beige flags is new to me.
So
do you want to, fill us in,
I'm
Carly.
Pretty sure pink flag, people are just making stuff up at this point, honestly.
Yeah.
But a pink flag is like a little less than a red flag, but still you want to like pay attention to it. You're giving me a very blank look, Caleb.
Well,
I didn't make it up.
The same thing as beige. This is the same thing as the beige flag.
No. Beige flag has kind of become, because I looked into this, it took off on TikTok earlier, and it's basically like a boring flag. Like, it's just like your mediocre, run-of-the-mill, like, Oh, that's my beige flag. And sometimes it's like, if you're very basic, my beige flag is I love Starbucks. Like, it's just a boring flag where pink.
Like you play Power.
Green flag. Yeah. I almost, right. Date that guy.
But pink flag is where, like, this could maybe turn into a red flag, or it might be something where you're like, I don't know about this, but it's not a full red flag, but it's also not like a good thing.
That makes more sense to me. And I also just realized I don't know colors. Do not know what color beige is. And then I'm realizing that's like, kind of, the boring like wall, brown. Like off-white. Yeah, got it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but if we're talking about these things, like, you know, if we're being serious about it, these are things that you should be noticing, like, whenever you are getting into a dating situation. Is, hey, is this a red flag? Like, is the way he or she talks to me is a red flag? Is it a green flag? Is opening the door for me important? Is how he talks to his mom or she talks to her dad important? Mm-hmm. Like that kind of stuff. So, Carly, why don't you take us into some dating advice for teenagers today? This can always be a tricky subject. So let's have it.
Yeah, it is. I think dating while you're a teenager can be so difficult because you're trying to figure out who you are and where you fit into this. And you're also then adding another person doing the same thing to it. And let's be honest, most relationships in middle school and high school will not last. That's not to say that all of them won't.
Odds are against you, though.
Somebody just rage quit this podcast because you said that. Like, me and my boyfriend are going to last forever. Just
I know.
Yeah. Whenever you break up, you can tune back in.
Yeah. Dang.
Yeah. So sorry. It's not guaranteed, but like odds are.
Yes, odds are you will not stay with them. And so I want to get into, before we, maybe how I want to do this is like, what advice do we have for when our teenage self, and the first one that I have that I would go back and tell my teen self is it's just not that serious and to have fun. Like, I feel like dating in middle school and high school, mostly high school. Let's talk high school mostly. It should just be fun. And if you're not having fun with the person you're with, why are you with them? Like, it's just not worth it to like fight all the time. I've been in relationships like that. I have talked to a lot of teenagers who are like, they break up, they get back together. They break up, they get back together. They fight constantly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Their friends hate their girlfriend. Why are you with them? It's ridiculous.
I think that along that lines, like, it's really hard. So if you're a teenager listening, like we're not saying that we're not taking you or your relationship seriously. Mm-hmm. We're telling you that this is not a marriage, so don't treat it like a marriage. And also, so like, it's like, I do think that your feelings are valid. I feel like that your feelings can be very real and very, very intense. But also just remember that this commitment is just a boyfriend girlfriend, and like I would tell that to adults who are dating too. Like, it's not just teens, but adults have a different kind of head on their shoulders, like naturally, like biologically, and so it's a little bit different. But the thing I would tell myself most is still you need to still have your independence and your friends. Like, you need to do things separately.
Yeah,
and I was really bad about that. It was when I had a girlfriend or a situationship, as the teens call it. I would like throw everything into that to the detriment of friendships and stuff. And so just remember that very likely in this situation, those friends are going to be more sustainable than your boyfriend, girlfriend is. So just like, you need to keep maintaining those friendships because those are the ones that are going to last. And those are the ones that are going to keep coming around. And that's not to say that you won't marry your, you know, middle school, high school sweetheart, but also like, your friendships can still be there for that. So don't give up on people just because you have somebody that you want to spend all your time with.
I think, too. It's like I like what you said. Like, don't make it to something it's not. Like, to me, that can be the switch point of like when dating's fun versus like there's all of a sudden a lot of pressure on it is whenever you're like, oh, I have to marry this person.
Right.
Right. It's like, well, you're playing a long game, first of all. Like, if you're in high school, man, you got a lot of years to pace yourself with before you can even think about that. So like, yeah, just focus on like now and like, yeah, let's have fun. And I think too, a lot of it is defining boundaries before the relationship. And like, what I always tell my teens is like, know your boundaries before you're in a relationship. Like that is, you can't come up with those whenever you're 4 months in, right? Like, because if they're already crossed, you can't uncross those. Know what they are beforehand. And also, like, no more than just physical boundaries, right? That's always the big talk is like, okay, like, right, like there's all these, whenever we're talking boundaries, it's what we can and can't do physically. Boundaries go so far beyond just physical. You have emotional, you have time boundaries, things like that. Like, I remember talking to Haley, my current wife, whenever we started dating in college, like.
Current wife. Your wife.
Guys. Guys. We have to cut that. It's okay.
I get what you're
ever
saying.
Listens. No, I don't want to put myself in a box. Don't want to limit myself.
You just mean not a past girlfriend, your current
situationship. Yes, my current situationship. Thank you, Carly, for helping me bail the water out of the sinking ship. My wife, Haley, when I was dating my wife, Haley, this was a problem I had. I would put so much pressure on relationships and be like, okay, like, because I'm not dating just to date, right? And like in my mind, I'm always going to date to marry. But then that doesn't mean that like in that moment, you're ready to marry someone or you need to treat them like you are in a marriage. Because like what I told her is like an emotional boundary I have is like, I don't want to even talk or bring up marriage emotionally because that puts a different pressure and just a different mindset on our relationship, right? So that's a boundary that I'm going to establish ahead of time, right? A boundary of maybe even starting out like time we spend together. It doesn't mean that I don't want to spend time with you. It means that I need to make time for my relationships outside of you or else this relationship won't last and you don't want it to because you don't want it to just be me and you. That's not good for anyone. So that's my piece of advice is come up with boundaries before you get in a relationship, define them, and also know that boundaries go far beyond just physical boundaries as well.
I like that. I'm also going to post a link because Tobin wrote an incredible blog for Teen Life that is going to hit on some dating tips. And so I will post that link as well if you want to go get more tips from Tobin, the dating guru.
I made a lot of mistakes. So it's more of just like, here's what I haven't done. Here's what I've done. And please, don't do that. So.
But teenagers, I hope that you hear that you are not a problem to be solved. And we hope that you enjoyed listening to the Teen Life podcast. Make sure that you subscribe. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us on social media. You can find us on TikTok now, where we are especially making videos for teens. So if you're an adult listening and there are some pieces of this that you think might be helpful for a teen, go check out our TikTok and share that with them. And we'll see you next week.